Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg, last week we went through your top position groups by team. This week, a different twist. I wanted to take maybe an NFL 101 approach with you and start by having just a thorough discussion on the quarterback read and maybe get into some of the run-pass option that was a big storyline with the Philadelphia Eagles. Take listeners through the QB read.
You're RPO talking about concept. The read option, you know, the zone read?
Yes, and just your thoughts on why it was so effective in the league last season, because I've got some numbers to get to coming up in this discussion.
Yeah, I think it's become selectively effective. And basically what it is you have the quarterback in the gun, and you have an offset back. So in other words, a back that's next to him. And what they do is the back will be, let's say the back is to the left of the quarterback where he's offset. So what they'll do is the quarterback will take the snap, and there'll be an unblocked defender. It will be the widest defender on the same side of the back. And the quarterback will gauge the reaction of that defender. He's the read for the quarterback, hence zone read option. And that widest defender's reaction will dictate whether the quarterback hands the ball to the back or keeps the ball. So if that widest defender crashes hard inside, that means he's playing the running back getting the handoff, and the quarterback will likely keep the ball. If he stays wide to sort of kind of see what's happening, then they'll hand it off to the running back because it's normally an inside zone kind of run. Now, defenses have done a really good job, guys, over the last year or so since it sort of became in vogue in the league, and they have tactically dealt with this. You can always defensively take away the option if you choose to. Teams have started doing that, for instance, with Seattle. They don't want Russell Wilson running the ball, so what they'll do is one of two things. They'll have the widest defender stay wide, which forces the quarterback to hand the ball off. Or they'll have that unblocked defender, the wide unblocked defender, crash down inside, but they'll have a stacked linebacker on the same side then scrape wide to prevent the quarterback from running the ball. So you can take away the option defensively if you choose to. You can then be short a player, and then you have to hope that you can defend the run. But anytime there's an option, a defense can take it away.
And that leads us to the RPO concepts, because I was reading something last month about the NFL completion percentage on RPOs last season.
Right.
Quarterbacks completed 78% of their passes when running the run-pass option. I'm not shocked with that number, given the idea behind RPOs is to only throw when you have the clear read. Otherwise, you run. But that still speaks to the efficiency of that play, correct?
Yeah, well, there's two parts to the RPO element for the quarterback, that is. One part has to do with the quarterback, just like a read option, but a different player. One part has to do with the fact that the quarterback would read a defender in the defensive front, normally a linebacker, who would not be accounted for in the run game blocking. So in other words, that's his read, and that player would not necessarily be accounted for in the run game blocking. The Eagles did that because very often they would work their run pass option off a wide run, a run that went outside, not an inside zone run, a wide run. So the stacked linebacker away from the wide run would often not be blocked. So now you're reading him to see what does he do. Okay, and that would dictate whether you hand the ball off or whether you throw it. Now, the other part of the run-pass option, and this is why it's so critical for quarterbacks to be able to read defensive fronts really clearly, is based on numbers. So in other words, it's based on numbers and it's based on alignment. And I'm trying to explain this really clearly, but it depends on the alignment of the linebackers. The alignment of the stacked linebackers will tell you if a safety needs to be added down into the front to deal with a gap. So if the linebackers, let's say, are shifted a bit to one side, then you know as a quarterback that a safety has to come down because otherwise they would be leaving a gap open. And if that's the case, if a safety has to come down, then the defense would have the numbers to defend the run, and then the quarterback would throw the ball because the other safety would have to go into the deep middle. Did that make sense?
It does. Now here's my question about the defense.
I know that this stuff's very visual, but I'm trying to explain, you know, how it works for the quarterback and what the read is.
Are you going to struggle as a defense if you're in zone compared to man with the RPO?
I think it's easier to run an RPO against zone. For instance, Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, the Eagles didn't run as many RPOs in the Super Bowl as people might think, because what Bill Belichick did, because he plays a ton of man coverage, and if you're willing to play man coverage, you can always have an extra defender in the box and force a throw, because the quarterback will not call a run when there's extra defenders in the box, because the defense has the numbers advantage in the box. So then the quarterback calls a pass. And all passes in the RPOs are what we call quick game, meaning three-step drop or very quick five-step drop. They're quick game throws. So if you're willing to live with man-to-man coverage and you feel good about it, and then you have to tackle because there will be completions, then you're going to limit the throws to 6 yards, let's say. Now, hey, from an offensive standpoint, depending on down and distance, that's a good play. If it's first and 10, that's a good play. Now, offenses are starting to respond to teams playing man. The Eagles did this against Minnesota in the championship game, where they had a great play call with an RPO, where they actually had a quick little rub element or natural pick element, and they hit, I think it was a 3rd-and-1 or 2 play, and that's where you know you're going to get man coverage, and they had a quick little pick, and they hit Zach Gertz for like a 4-yard gain, but that gets a first down. So this is the chess match at work.
Greg Cosell is with us. I was told by a coach last offseason, RPOs, they will take advantage of defensive players who have both run and pass responsibilities, especially in zone defenses.
Without question.
With that in mind, if you're the weak side linebacker, for instance, and you've got the run-pass responsibility, are you just left out to dry in some cases with this?
You're in conflict, because you have two responsibilities, and then you have to read it, and you have to play theoretically with great eye discipline. Keep in mind, guys, this is just an expansion of concepts that have been around forever. It's just football evolution. Theoretically, basic play action, which, you know, for years and years was what teams did before all this expansion of offensive concepts and theory, basic play action also puts a second-level defender in conflict. You know, there's a deception element. That's what offenses are trying to do. Offenses are always trying to put pressure on the defense, be proactive, be the hunters. That's what offenses are trying to do. So they're trying to put players who have multiple, you know, who have run pass reads, as a number of defenders do, they're trying to put them in conflict. They're trying to stress them.
Continues his visit with us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Visit them online, THGTN.com, or call 833-THG-NASH. Greg, is there a next wrinkle for offenses to stay a step ahead when you evaluate the film of RPOs and different things? Or do you think defenses will begin to catch up to this?
Well, think of it this way, guys. And this is the way coaches talk, offensive coaches in particular. They want answers. There's always problems, so what are the answers? And how early can you provide the answer to your quarterback so he can function effectively? And the offense can theoretically win more downs than they lose. So that's the way coaches think about it. So think of it this way. I think you're going to see more no huddle. Think of what the Rams did. Sean McVay with Jared Goff. They didn't go no huddle to play fast, to play what we call tempo, like let's say a Chip Kelly. They went no huddle so that the defense had to be settled, so that the defense theoretically could not communicate and move as much before the snap of the ball. So what that does is it then makes the defense more static and provides more answers before the snap of the ball for the quarterback. And that's critical because that's what you want. Answers before the ball snapped. So I think you might see more no huddle, which doesn't mean every team's going to do it all the time, but I think you'll start seeing a little more of it. Another thing, and I know some quarterbacks are leery of this, but I think it helps provide answers. I think you'll start seeing a little more motion, pre-snap motion, because that plays into the idea of what we call indicator formations. Motions often helps the quarterback determine whether the defense is in man or zone. Now, that's not 100%, but the percentage is high enough that it gives the quarterback answers before the snap of the ball. So those two things, I think, are absolutely critical, and my guess is you'll start to see more of that because defenses have become really detailed, really sophisticated with their pressure concepts, and also with the increase in dime, meaning six defensive backs, you're getting so much speed on defense, you really have to try to win before the ball snapped.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the no-huddle concept and getting the defense in something you want them in. And we've seen this in college football for years where an offensive team, they get the right personnel group and they want, and they just continue to run really fast. It's tempo, but it's also not allowing for substitution where you can continue to give the same look over and over again. Is in terms of answers that you're talking about for offensive football staffs, is the answer for the defense to then make certain personnel groupings more versatile in what they can do?
Yep.
So if they get stuck on the field, they can do a lot of different things instead of staying static and giving the same look over and over again.
That's why safeties like Minka Fitzpatrick are so critical now in today's NFL. Safeties, for instance, with corner skills. So you don't have to be concerned that, hey, if I want to put Minka Fitzpatrick as a man-to-man player on any player on the offense, any of the five eligible receivers, he can match up. So, yes, players like that become more and more critical. It's why teams want speed at linebacker as well, where the era of the 250-pound linebacker is sort of gone because those players can't play in the pass game. Because teams don't want to have to be stereotyped on defense and become too predictable. In other words, always be in nickel or dime versus three wide receivers. They want to have some flexibility themselves. You know, Jonathan made the point about RPOs. Different coaches call RPOs for different reasons. Chip Kelly calls RPOs as part of playing tempo because he wants to run the ball out of RPOs. There's other coaches who do RPO concepts, like a Kyle Shanahan, who I believe if he were to call an RPO wants to throw out of it. That would be his goal based on his anticipation of the defense. So different coaches call RPO concepts for different reasons.
How do you think Matt LaFleur will call RPOs?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, the Rams didn't, in my view, I'm trying to remember the Rams this year. You know, obviously, you don't call an RPO for your quarterback to run, so it's not relevant whether the quarterback is a runner or not. You're calling an RPO either to hand it off or to throw the football. Obviously, Mariota is a different player than Goff, and Mariota does stress a defense just by the fact that he can run. I don't know. My guess would be that they would call it both and based on situations. And I know that might seem, Jonathan, like a cop-out answer, but RPOs are very situationally based, too. You know, you're not calling an RPO on third and nine. You know, you're calling RPOs in normal down and distance, and very often you could be calling them on third and three because you know what the defense will likely play in those situations. You're trying to call it when you have a pretty good feel for what the defense is going to play, because then your quarterback can have a very good, again, coming back to answers, your quarterback can have an answer before the ball is snapped.
So how great of a fit should that be for Mariota in those situations, based on what we've seen from him in the past and knowing that he's had success in the no-huddle offense, even with Terry Robiskie?
Right, right. Well, to me, the no huddle will work well with Mariota. And given Matt LaFleur's background, I mean, obviously he just came from McVay, but he was also with Kyle Shanahan. And as I think I told you guys, those are the two offensive minds in the league that everybody at the combine defensively talks about as being ahead of the curve. So Matt LaFleur has spent his NFL career with those two coaches. So I think you're going to see a lot of different concepts. Now, keep in mind that someone like Kyle Shanahan is phenomenal as well, stressing defenders just with normal lining up normally, you know, lining up with two backs. And like I said, you can force a second-level defender just in normal stuff, not RPOs, not zone read, to still be stressed, to still have to deal with multiple responsibilities. Kyle Shanahan's great at that. I'm sure Matt LaFleur has taken some of that as well.
Greg, leave us with this, and we'll get to the wide receiver discussion next week. We've discussed a lot about the offenses who run this quite a bit. How many offenses will you just simply not find it in what they do offensively?
You mean the RPO concept? I mean, obviously the zone read concept, you know, you're not going to see the Patriots run the zone.
Right.
You know, some teams will run it. If it's third and one and it's a surprise and you just need 2 yards to get a first down, a team can do that. You know, but I mean, there are certain teams that obviously don't really have it as part of their arsenal. The RPO, you know, I've spent a lot of this offseason talking to coaches and studying it, so I can't give you a great answer. I'll have a better answer once this season starts because I've learned so much more about it. I did not know a lot about it. You know, when it was happening last year, I knew just enough to have a sense of when it was happening, but I didn't know what, you know, how it was coached, what coaches were looking for. I've learned a lot more, so I can't give you a definitive answer, and you know me, guys, I'm not going to make it up.
Right.
You know, so I've learned a lot more, and I'll have a much better idea watching this season of how that's, you know, playing out.
Greg, this was a great crash course for all of us. Thank you for doing this, and we'll do it again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, Greg Cosell joins us every Wednesday at 12:15. If you missed a portion of that, we podcast that online. You can go to midday180.com. It will take you directly to our page at 1045thezone.com. All of our podcasts are there, and we highly recommend that you subscribe on iTunes. Updates automatically right when our show ends. You can get all of the interviews there, and it's all presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And Cosell, as you might imagine, the most popular podcast each week, that will be available later this afternoon. He's presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, online thgtn.com.